From Luke 18, 1 to 8, the Holy Gospel of the Lord. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against the one who has done me wrong.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out and give me a black eye.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks to Georgina Normandin, who's going to lead. I don't see Georgina. Ah, I was looking in the wrong place. Thanks to Georgina Normandin, who's leading Word for Children. This text, which is kind of difficult, coupled with a story called "It Could Always Be Worse." So if your heart calls you to go hear about how it could always be worse, you're all invited to always to sit with Word for Children. It seems to me that I have a God who's disinclined to acquiesce to my requests, to borrow a phrase from Pirates of the Caribbean. I cry out to God all day, all night, all the time, and I never seem to get what I want. I don't know how it is for you. Do you feel like you have a God who's disinclined to acquiesce to your requests? And I kind of hate this passage because this passage on its surface seems to say that if we keep praying and we don't lose heart, that God will give us whatever we want, which also seems to imply that if I don't have what I want, if we don't have what we want, it's because we stopped praying for it. As if God is some sort of cosmic vending machine, and instead of putting in money, I put in the right prayers, I pull the knob, and I get what I want. How is it going for you? Jesus tells this really weird parable, and all of a sudden, prayer is about justice. Did you notice that? Prayer all of a sudden is about justice. And the characters in the story are a judge, who, by the way, is called and employed to be about justice, and a widow. On the surface, this may seem like everyday life to us, this business about it being a widow, but in terms of the Hebrew people, this is very significant, because the Hebrew scriptures single out three classes of people that the community is called upon to care for, one of which is the widow. So widows were completely dispossessed because their livelihood and their shelter and their very lives depended upon being attached to a man. So when their husband died, that means they were left destitute. And the community was called to pick up that charge, to give them shelter, to give them food, to give them belonging in the community. The second class of people, like the widow, is the orphan. Can you imagine being a child and losing your parents? You would be destined to wander around scavenging for food, taking shelter under any good tree, hoping to stay safe, hoping to not get sick, hoping just to survive. The community was called upon to look out for such children, to take them into their homes, and to provide for their care. The third class was the resident alien. Now, the words resident alien may not resonate with us, but how about this word, refugee? How about this phrase, people without a homeland? People who have been dispossessed. Can you imagine being in Canada, not being a Canadian, not speaking the language, kicked out of your own country, wandering around trying to build a career, build your life up from scratch? We know scores of people that this is happening to, people who are quite unable to practice in their professions because they cannot transfer their credentials or because they don't speak English. The community of the Hebrews was called upon to care for such people, to take them into their homes, to provide for shelter and food, and to help them get on their feet so that they could rebuild life and claim the homeland as their own. So it's not a small thing that Jesus says it's a widow that came demanding justice. This is someone who has absolutely no rights. And she begs a judge who is supposed to be looking out for what's right and fair to do his job. This is the image Jesus lifts up for us for our prayer life. That we should throw ourselves upon God's mercy, who is supposed to be providing for us, as if we are completely dispossessed, without any possessions or land or shelter or food, to cry out day and night and demand that God keep God's promises. Do you pray like that? Why would I pray like that when I feel like God is disinclined to acquiesce to my request in the first place? The theologian and pastor Rob Bell says, here's some help for our prayer life. We ought to remember that we live our lives between two trees. So I want you to look south for a minute and imagine that through that wall, way in the distance, you can see the tree of life standing right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This image, of course, coming to us from the very beginning of the Bible. There in the Garden of Eden, God planted a tree from which right beside it is the river of life. Can you see it in the distance? The tree of life right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the beginning of the Bible. Now, to the end of the Bible, look north. There's another tree through the wall. Look north. There's another tree way out there in the distance. Guess what it is? It's the tree of life. And Revelation tells us that the tree of life, way in the future, has leaves all over it that are for the healing of the nations. And that tree is standing, I don't know how a tree does this, onto either side of, guess what? The river of life. Thanks, Rob Bell, for reminding us that we live our lives between two trees. And guess what's in between them? All of our scripture. All of our scripture, including two psalms that give rise to these windows that are on the south and the north. So I want you to look at these windows, first at the one on the south. This is Psalm 23. Can you see the shepherd's crook there on the left? What else do you see in that window? Thank God, the river of life. Then look to the north. This window is inspired by Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. We might say those are the Rockies just because it's really convenient for us. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God, who's the maker of heaven and earth. And what else do we see in that window? The river of life. People of God, look south. We live our lives between two trees. The tree of life, standing beside the river of life, and the tree of life, which stands on either side of the river of life. And that river flows right through this space. The real water. We can't see the river of life or the tree of life in that direction. We cannot see the river of life or the tree of life in that direction. But in this place, the river of life flows right through this building. There is a font and a river that makes glad the city of God. And it flows right through the heart of our life together. Do you have do you feel like you have a God who's disinclined to acquiesce to your requests? Come to the river of life. Do you feel like you're not getting what you want? Plead day and night and come to this place. Come to the river of life. What do we do in this space? We live between two trees. We imagine our life, and we're sustained by the river of life. The river of life that here in this place makes firm that knowledge that we know where we came from and we know where we're headed. People of God, Jesus says, pray always and don't lose heart. When we come to this place and remember our spot, our time, between those two trees near the river of life, and we pray without ceasing and we don't lose heart, you know what happens to us? We become workers for justice. We can't stand it when the widow and the orphan and the resident alien are persecuted. In our soul of souls, we know that that is not only wrong, it is counter to the kingdom of God. And people of God, we are the kingdom of God. We will never be able to look out into the world and say, look, there it is, or look, here it comes, because it is within us. It is the river of life welling up within us like a spring to spill out on those who are in trouble. Sometimes that's us, but more often than not, it's not. We who have homes, roof over our head, food on our table, shelter for our loved ones, are the kingdom of God with all the gifts of God to share. We don't have a God who's disinclined to acquiesce to our requests. We do have a God who is disinclined to give us every little thing that we want. Because God is playing a much bigger game. God is playing the game that the people of God come to worship, gather around the font, and see clearly their lives are living between two trees, given breath and hope and life by the river of God that never stops flowing. Our lives are actually cast into that river, and we are carried along by it. Our lives of discipleship are about strengthening that vision so that not only when we're in this place, but when we're out in the world, we can't forget it. Not only do we remember it, it's impossible for us to forget it. Last week, we gave thanks. We wrote things that we were thankful for onto little balls. People said they were Christmas ornaments. They actually weren't. They were little colored balls. This one says time, thanks to the sound booth, right? Ladies, gentlemen, people of God, we're in the culmination of the season of Pentecost. Our whole lives welling up from Advent, the coming promise of God, through Epiphany, the revelation of God, through the suffering of God and the resurrection, right to us, that we might have a time of developing our muscle, of seeing the river of life flowing right through our lives, placed firmly between two trees, so that number one, we give thanks. And number two, we get to work. Here in the culmination of the season of Pentecost, we're giving thanks. from now straight through to Christ the King, when we acknowledge the one who created this scheme in the first place, but also who gives us strength and vision to see it active in our lives every day. May you see those trees and your life firmly between them, flowing in the river of life, sustained by the Word of God. May you pray without ceasing that this kingdom may be seen by more people than just us. May you work tirelessly for justice. On behalf of the widow, the orphan, the dispossessed, those who are suffering all around us. And may you see that as the sole purpose of your life. To give thanks and to partner with God for the kingdom that's growing among us and given life in this place. Amen.